It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Jordan is calling from New Jersey. What's up, Jordan? Hey, Jordan.
Hey, guys. I have a good betting story.
Yeah, go ahead.
So a few weeks ago during the Four Nations, my son and I, he's five, we were playing blood hockey. And it's one of those old school like Nintendo games, you know?
Right, yes.
But they only have international teams. So we were playing Sweden against the United States right before that game on that Monday. And in our game, Sweden won 2-1. And then Sweden won 2-1 against the U.S.
Huh.
So I said on Thursday, before the Canada-USA finals, I said, you know what? Why don't we play again? And whatever the outcome of that game is, let's put an exact score bet on whatever happens. So it was 2-2, and with like 45 seconds left in our game, my son scored his first ever blood hockey goal. We would alternate between the periods so that like every team would score.
Right.
But he scored his first ever goal. Canada won 3-2.
Wow.
Like 20 minutes before the game started, I put a 3-2, one plus 1,000 bet, $100. And I hit.
Nice. Nice. That is crazy.
It was the greatest bet of all time.
You got baseball in there?
Yeah. Well, right. You know what I think we should do? It's a very good idea that we can't start now, and it'll make one of our digital guys, Tom Izzo, very happy. Tom Izzo, who works here, has set up video games at WFAN because he wants people to play and have fun. What if before every show, or maybe during the show, Sean, if you need a break, you play a game of MLB The Show that mimics tonight's game? So tonight, you know, pick either the Mets or the Yankee game. You go Yankees Diamondbacks, little Will Warren versus Corbin Burns. And that result will help all of us. And we'll say, okay, we'll bet that that's what happens tonight. And we'll see how accurate it is.
All right, you're going to get Hurley coming over like, where's Sean? He's playing a video game.
He's doing work.
He's research.
Big research. Let's go to Mike in Long Beach. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
This whole thing that you guys want Yankee fans to turn their back and stay silent, to me, is not really smart because it's not going to be 100% Yankee fans in the stands. So if the Yankee fans are quiet, the cheers from the Mets fans are going to sound that much more impressive Don't you want the Yankee fan booze to drown out?
By the way, that's a great point we haven't factored in. Mm-hmm. Sean and Tiki want Yankee fans to turn their back on Juan Soto Friday night in May.
Don't sell your tickets.
There's nothing you can do about that. I'm in that building. I'm a Met fan. I'm cheering Juan Soto. Mm. Won't it backfire if it's only 15% are all cheering and you guys are giving the silent treatment?
No, because then no matter what we win, either we've given the silent treatment and video will be out there, people turning their back,
right,
or it comes across that Yankee fans aren't pity and aren't spiteful,
right,
and are actually celebrating the 1 year they got to the World Series with
them,
which would actually further bother Met fans that we are unbothered by it and celebrating
it. Cheering him for what he did for the Yankees, getting him to the World Series.
Balls in your court.
Good try.
Balls in your court.
I
thought he made a great point.
Wow, the Yankee fans are actually cheering Juan Soto. That is a classy organization.
And that will piss Met fans off. They
exactly
want us to
right.
boom.
They want. Exactly. That was a Met fan who just called. He wants Yankee fans to boo Juan Soto.
No, it's just,
it makes them feel like they want even more.
Well, no, it's just, I'm going to be in the building.
Drink your tears. Met fans want to drink the Yankee tears, and those tears come in the forms of boo. So what you do when Juan Soto gets up the bat in Yankee Stadium for the Subway Series is you stand your ass up, and you turn around, and you do nothing but stand in silence.
Let's go to Bobby in Rockville Center. How are you, Bobby?
Good. How you guys doing?
Wonderful. What's up?
Real quick, no one's mentioning the fact that, don't you think the balls are juiced? Remember how 1 year they wound the balls too tight?
Yeah.
You know, no one's mentioning that. And the torpedo bat is not going to make you hit the ball farther, but if it's juiced the ball, they're going to go further. The three-hitter on the Marlins last night, I guarantee you he never hit a ball that far in his life.
Right, he launched that thing.
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell if the ball is juiced or not. Like, 2019 was the year you're talking about. That was the year Pete hit all those home runs.
Do we have any empirical evidence on the home runs through the first, whatever, seven games?
It's too small of a sample size.
Right. No, yeah. And if the balls were juiced, the Mets wouldn't have got one hit on Saturday.
Look at you. I don't think the balls are juiced, but they could be. I mean, owners are desperate for runs to be scored.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the minority on this, I think, but most people would rather watch a high-scoring game. Actually, you're a perfect guy to ask, Teague.
Yeah.
If you sit down tonight, you got the Mets taking on the Marlins, the Yankees taking on the Diamondbacks. If one of those games is a 2-1 game and the other one of those games is an 11-10 game,
depends.
Which game will you be more into?
So the problem is these high-scoring games are blowouts. So I was interested in the Mets game until after the fifth inning.
Well, let's say it's a high-scoring game that's close and it's a low-scoring game that's close. Which one do you prefer?
Mm.
You're the perfect guy to ask.
Probably the high-scoring game.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Now, I disagree.
But if they become blowouts, I watch the Yankees just because it's the Yankees, and I'm sitting there with my father-in-law, Ernie, so we just watched it. But with the Mets last night, I got bored.
Well, that's a blowout.
Like, it's over.
That's a blowout. I'm taking the blowout out, because obviously the blowout, you shut off. I totally get that. But a 11-10 game versus a 2-1 game.
No doubt. And so every at-bat, as you get into the 7th, 8th, 9th innings, it means something.
Yes. Let's go to Gil in Mystic, Connecticut. How you doing today, Gil?
What up, Gil?
Gil.
Evan and Tiki, love the show.
Thank you, man.
Evan, thanks. you made a point yesterday that this wouldn't be Gil if it wasn't the Yankees. And you're right. It's the higher teams that always take the hit. I don't hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankee fans. But let me give you a couple examples. As a Patriot fan, the Spygate stuff. The memo went out right before that happened, and if that guy was 3 feet either way, it wouldn't have been a violation.
Right.
And then the deflate gate, I watched an interview with Aaron Rodgers, who is the Kyrie Irving of football, the week before that came out, and he was bragging in the interview that he loved to overinflate the footballs because he has big hands and he could throw harder.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Chargers were getting charged with piping in crowd noise and getting fined, and it was never talked about.
But Gil, I think you bring up fair points about the hypocrisy of the NFL,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that relates to what's going on with the Yankees, because the Yankees are literally doing nothing wrong.
Yeah.
They're not even.
And other teams are doing the exact same thing.
Right. Other players are doing it. The Patriots, whether you want to argue if they broke the rules or not, we're going right up to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Right up there. Enough where a team like the Indianapolis Colts or Eric Mangini would complain about it.
Yep.
Now, you're right about the crowd noise stuff with other teams, whether it was the Indianapolis Colts or the LA San Diego Chargers back then. How come a bigger deal wasn't made of it? If it's the Patriots, would a bigger deal been made of it? Absolutely. But I don't think it's fair to equate that to what's going on right now with the Yankees. Because the Yankees aren't even going up to the line.
No.
The Yankees are just being innovative.
Right.
And it's pissing everybody off.
Or a lot of the guys are being innovative.
Yes.
Because most of these other teams, it's one, maybe two guys. The Yankees have five guys.
Yeah, I saw the complete list of people that are using the torpedo bat, and it's still a very small number of people. You've got one Oriole, two Reds, two Cubs, a Twin, one Met in Lindor, a Philly, a Pirate, a Blue Jay, a Ray, and the Yankees have five guys.
Yeah, but the one of the Reds is Ella De La Cruz.
Yes.
Was ridiculous yesterday.
And, you know, one of the other Reds is Jose Trevino, who used to play for the New York Yankees.
There you go.
How about that? We have a new game of Posted and Toasted coming up in about 20 minutes. Plus, Brian Daboll met the media. Did he give us a hint about what they're going to do in the draft? We'll take a listen. And there were a few things that jumped out at me, because Brian Daboll doesn't say a lot. So you've really got to, you know, kind of look closely or listen closely to what he has to say.
Bill Belichick with a personality.
Yes.
That's Dave's.
I think that's a fair comparison. He's got a lot of Belichickian in minus all those victories. He said something that I kind of want to say he's full of crap on. I kind of want to say there's no way this happened. And I only say that because, look at me, I'm anal. I'm crazy. I watch all sorts of plays. I like to rewatch games occasionally, like from 30 years ago. But I think what Brian Daboll claims he did in evaluating Russell Wilson is BS.
Okay.
I'm going to play it for you, and obviously you can tell me not.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dabes would do this, or Dabes did do this. Here's what he said in terms of watching and analyzing Russell Wilson's career.
Yeah, I've watched every play of his since 2012. He's got over 7,500 pass plays. Just wanted to see some of the things that he did well. See if, you know, as we get going here, we got to start putting together what we're going to do. Everybody's got a lot of plays, but I want to look at these players, specifically the quarterbacks, and, you know, make good decisions with the things that we install. So watch the Denver tape, the Steeler tape, watch all the Seahawks tape. Did a lot of work on it.
7,500 plays?
Yeah, it's doable.
Really?
Yeah.
How long would that take? How long does each play take? Because I started calculating it and felt impossible.
So the issue is, like, you can fly through. I can watch a full game. You guys know this because when doing the games last year, I can fly through a game in probably 25 minutes or so.
Okay.
Watch every play and understand exactly what happened. And so when you're watching a specific player, sometimes you'll ball snapped. If it's a sack, you just run through it, right? It takes less than 3 seconds to get through it.
Oh, okay. So I didn't calculate 3 seconds. That's quick.
Because if it's a busted play or it's a bad snap or it's not what you're looking for. You're looking to see, all right, let's look at his drop back. Let's look at his delivery of a ball outside the numbers. Let's look at the delivery of the balls inside the numbers. Let's look at, you know, how many times he scrambles. And so you see, you can tell immediately what's going to happen in a play. And so the ones that you don't need, you go right through. So absolutely, that was doable.
If you watch each play and it takes you 5 seconds, it would still take you 10 hours. Think about that.
Right.
So watch. Now, 10 hours feels a little doable.
But this has been 3 months. It's like 2 months.
So he goes home every day, goes to work, and just watches Russell Wilson
play. It's your job.
No, I get you.
I mean, honestly.
And he probably did a bunch last year before they met with Russell Wilson.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. So it's an accumulation of watching. So it's not just, I did this last week. I've been doing this for a year and a half because we were looking at him a year ago. I'm trying to think back to my playing days. Like how much tape we watched. Because that's what made me a good player at the end of my career. I just watched tape over and over and over and over and over again. I'd bring it home and you'd watch tape. I mean, I probably watched 1,000 plays a week.
Wow.
That's not even an exaggeration.
But that's a lot of plays.
Of course it is. But you're doing it from the moment you get to practice.
How many seconds for each play?
I'm going to do the math. I don't know, 5 seconds. But you do it as soon as you get to the stadium because you're studying the team that you're about to play. You're doing it as you're watching the cut-ups and you're installing your offense. You do it after practice when you order pizza and sometimes on Fridays you have sneak beers into the joint. You do it when you get home. Like, you're just always watching tape.
All right. So Brian Daboll, if you're listening, I'm sorry. You're not full of crap.
No, he's definitely not.
Very, very hard. You've watched if you watched every play of Russell Wilson's career, if we gave you that assignment.
His career?
Yeah, well, that's what he said he watched. He didn't just say Denver.
He did say 2012. Yeah,
he said since the beginning, he's watched every play.
I'd be bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. How far can you go? Like, if we start with last year and say, just keep watching until you're bored, how far could you go before you're like, I can't do
this? Well, I mean, I watched a lot of his last year's tape already.
And what do you think?
I mean, it was just, some of it was really good, made some big plays. A lot of it was just kind of like, all right, yeah, next.
What did Brian Daboll see?
He probably saw that. There's a potential of him, of that Russell that you saw when he was close to being an MVP candidate.
Right.
But there's also a lot of it that's just holding the ball too long, trying to make something happen. It breaks down, and so he scrambles and makes a bad decision.
Right.
Whether that's taking a sack or throwing an ill-advised throw. But there were some of these games, I forget which one it was, where he was just in. He was dialed in.
Yeah.
Made every right throw, timing exactly right. And so you know it's still there. It's just not there consistently. And it's why he's been on four teams in 5 years.
The question is, can Brian Daboll do something that Arthur Smith couldn't do, that Nate Hackett couldn't do, that he will, I don't want to say unlock Russ, because the guy's had a hell of a career.
Sean Payton as well.
Sean Payton, I shouldn't leave him out.
Right. Think of all the coaches that he's been through, going back to, I forgot who the coordinator was his last year in Seattle. Was it Waldron? I think it was Shane Waldron. But so you go through all of these coordinators, and it's Waldron, and then Hackett, and then Sean Payton, and then obviously Arthur Smith, and now it's Brian Daboll or Mike Kafka, however you want to look at it, with the New York Giants. And there's a lot of different stuff that's been muddled into his head over the last couple of years. So how do you get him to play free? And that's Dave's biggest challenge. His biggest challenge is going to be managing that quarterback room.
One of our biggest challenges is deciphering what Brian Daboll means. So he was asked directly, what have you learned about Shedeur Sanders? Very direct question. Listen to this gobbledygook of an answer.
Yeah, again, I respect the question. Just relative to the guys in the draft and the draft picks and the evaluation process of these guys, I'll keep all that stuff in-house right now.
So he told us nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not going to tell you anything. So here's another attempt.
He just wanted to acknowledge that he heard your question, but I'm not answering.
He also gave you a thank you. Yeah. That really disarms you. Like, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. Will you take a quarterback at 3? That's like the million-dollar question. I still think they will. Here's Dable's answer to the very direct question: Will you take a quarterback at three?
Yeah, we're gonna go through, you know, the evaluation of all the guys that, you know, that have been on my list to look at and talk to, and again, everything's got to fall in line too relative to draft picks, where you are picking, and if somebody else gets picked ahead of time, and, you know, everybody out there that, oh my gosh, Michael Penix got taken here. You don't know when they're gonna get taken. It's, you know, there's affinity you have for a player. If you feel like that player is the right player, and, you know, they're sitting there at the pick, whatever pick it is you have, you know, is it a reach? Is it not a reach? Like, I'm not going to get into that. It's how you feel about the player, and, you know, does that player match where you want to take him?
How long can you realistically keep pushing it off then? You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I understand the question. Look, I'm focused on this draft with the players that are in this draft, and, you know, we'll see if we take it.
The follow-up question, if you can hear it, was how long can you keep putting this off? Well, which is finding a future franchise quarterback.
It also has to be the right quarterback.
Of course.
That's the last thing you want to do is just be pressured into taking a quarterback because the media says, you need a quarterback, take this kid. And then he busts and then you kill him anyway.
Yeah.
So you're in a no-win situation, so you better take somebody you love.
I really believe, based on all of those word salad words that Brian Daboll used, and he used a lot of them, and he's trying to keep everyone off the track, and right. I respect that.
Tell you nothing.
And I get that. GMs do that.
Right.
They don't want to tell you.
But he's head coaches. Head coach. He's cordially telling you
right.
nothing.
Head coaches and GMs, they don't want to tell you anything. They want to make believe they've told you something, but they haven't told you anything. I think I learned something from that whole big gobbledygook.
Which was?
They're taking a quarterback at three.
Why? Because he said yeah to start the sentence?
It wasn't even that. It was just, I think what they're doing is they're saying, look, we don't need to. We have Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. We've got Jameis Winston. We're good. We don't need to reach on the board. But Brian Daboll knows we need to walk away with a young future quarterback. We just can't announce it to the world. And by signing two veterans, it's almost like a deflection. Right. Like, see, we don't need to. So I take those words to mean we got this. We're going to take a quarterback. Do you guys agree with me?
Yeah. I think all roads continue to lead back to Shador Sanders.
Yeah. I agree. You agree with me, Tommy?
I agree with you. Even if Shador and Cam are off the board, you got to take a quarterback at three. And I think they will.
Three. Yeah, I think they will, too. I think they, I, you know, I don't think he's crazy.
I disagree with that.
So I don't know if they'll take Jackson Dart at three. What I think they may do at three is trade back. I could see that being a scenario where they still get the quarterback, they get extra draft assets later.
Right.
But I do think they're ending up with a quarterback in the first round.
Okay, but that would be like taking the quarterback at three. Let's say they trade with the Jets, and the Jets draft whomever, and they take Dart or Milroe at seven. To me, that's using the third overall pick on a quarterback.
No, that's why I'm kind of...
semantics.
That's why I'm kind of like...
But to Sean's point there.
No, because it's not using the third overall pick. It's making sure that you're not just blindly using the third overall pick on a quarterback not worthy of that while getting other assets.
I'm just merely saying I agree with Tommy's point that they're ending the first round with a quarterback, even if they go through a little, hey, it's too early to take Dart here. We're going to trade back.
And I don't think drafting Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe is blindly taking a quarterback when your quarterback room is Jameis and Russell Wilson and Tommy on his internship.
I also think it's all more likely, too, they sit there and take Hunter or Carter and then trade back in using their other stuff at the end of the first round.
We don't have the clip today, but Daboll was talking up Travis Hunter. They're not drafting him. He
wouldn't have said that much about him.
Bingo. A guy who says nothing said a million things about Travis Hunter.
In fairness, so when he was asked about Travis Hunter, he wouldn't answer the question about do you look at him as a corner or a wide receiver, and was even asked about, well, Troy Brown, what your experience with it, and he wouldn't bite on it.
Yeah,
so I didn't take it that way. I understand what you're saying. I didn't take it as, oh, he's saying so much about Travis Hunter. I think he was avoiding answering anything about Travis Hunter, too. There's one other thing that became a controversy with some. And I want there to be full information. And if you're pissed about it, you have every right to be. And if you're not, at least you have the information. Brian Daboll was asked, and I want you to listen to it. It's the last question he was asked about attending the pro days for both Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. And Daboll said no. And so that became a story. Like, how is Brian Daboll not going to the pro day of Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter? Here is him saying no and a reason for why. And then you explain if this is a good reason. Here's Brian Daboll.
No, pro day? No.
Why did you say you're going to pro day? You've gone to pro day in the past, though.
Yeah, I'd say very few of them. I
I prefer private workouts. You get to spend a lot of time, particularly for the quarterbacks. Now, you know, there's more than that potentially, but I prefer private workouts where you can set a script when you're working out the quarterback. Maybe it's different than what they did for the pro day that they've practiced a bunch. You can spend a lot of time with the player in the meeting room in addition to what you've spent before. You can recap some of the things that you taught. You can add some new things. You can see how they interact with some of their guys in a kind of an intimate setting, if you will. Put them in charge of some things to take care of for the workout. So I think this would be, we've done a number of these private workouts for the quarterback position. That's what I prefer.
He's right.
He's right about that?
100%.
All right, so Giant fans, calm down.
Right.
Get your panties out of the, you know,
because
the
pro day is scripted by the coach at the university or a private coach or whatever it may be. And you, as the executive general manager or assistant general manager or player personnel player guy or head coach, all you're doing is observing. Now, you may get some time to interact with the prospect, but you're not in control, right? It's not your workout. The private workout are the ones where you really dig into it. You
right.
get to know the guy. You get to, hey, I'm going to throw this at you and tell me what you think about it. And you've seen these on some of these, you know, off-season videos that they show where they tell you a play and they talk about something else. And they're like, hey, tell me that play again. And tell me how you would dissect this, and what would you do in this certain situation? It's just, it's testing the capacity to hear, learn, and retain, and then regurgitate. Because that's what a quarterback is asked to do
right.
on a weekly basis, right? You may get installed in training camp what the playbook looks like, but it's going to change every single week.
Interesting.
And so being able to retain and execute in the short term is probably the most important skill a quarterback has to have. And you can find that out by just having a conversation with a guy and throwing stuff at him and seeing what he does.
So, Sean, as the conduit to the crazy Giant fan with one giant step, mm-hmm. can you tell them to calm the hell down about Daboll not going to the pro day? Can you do that for us?
I'm absolutely going to tell them, and I will be called a Daboll shill as a result. But I will
tell them Tiki said it.
Tiki said it as well.
Are okay. they going to call Tiki a Daboll shill?
I'm sure they will. Okay. That's the go-to. You can't defend Brian Daboll without being a Daboll shill.
Okay, fair enough.
It's time for another edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a baseball one. Want a little baseball one?
Yeah, let's.
April 10th, 2022. I love all this Mets bunting. I love all this Mets bunting. Hashtag small ball. Is that Evan Roberts, Sal Licata, Tiki Barber, or Tommy Lugauer?
That's me.
Hit his jock in the dirt and kill him. You remember this?
Yeah.
Why were you making love to Mets bunting back
because
in 2022?
That was a year where everybody was talking about launch angles.
Right.
And guys trying to hit home runs. And why does Glaber stink now? Because his launch angle. And you watch the Mets and they're just like, all right, we're going to bunt. We're going to move the guy over then hope that the guy behind him gets a hit.
I'm so surprised you remember that.
Genius.
No, that's genius, all right. By the way, I do want to address something about bunting. Last year at this time, Sean and I got into a fight. Do you know what the fight was about involving bunting?
I wanted Soto to bunt.
Yeah, I hated Soto bunting. No, you're thinking of something a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you did suggest Soto bunting one time. It's not even that. I ripped Soto for laying down bunts. And my attitude was...
I don't remember this.
It happened, yeah. It was different than what you're thinking about. Okay. You had a stupid baseball opinion.
No, it was not stupid.
Okay, whatever.
I'm not going to rehash it, but I was right.
Okay. I was anti-Soto bunting because my thought is, come on. You get on base 45% of the time anyway. You're a great player. I'd rather you try to rip a double up the alley or hit a home run.
Right.
Soto has shown bunt twice so far this season, but to me is clearly not bunting. He's trying to draw the third baseman in, though that hasn't worked. So far, I'm not mad at Juan Soto. Once he lays down a bunt,
you'll be mad if he bunts at all.
I don't like it. No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
What if it's a squeeze?
What? That's even dumber. No.
Suicide squeeze.
He's
to win a game.
He's too good of a hitter. And for anyone who counters, because you can do this with a lot of players, hey, it's a guarantee.
What if it wins the game?
Well, yeah. Okay.
I thought the Mets lineup was so deep. What do you care if he bunts?
He doesn't need to bunt. It's stupid to bunt.
But how's it any different than a walk?
Because you're giving yourself... Great question. See, that's a good question. Here's the difference. When he draws a walk, he's still in the batter's box attempting to hit a home run or a double or do something impactful. Once you square up and bunt, you're just, the best thing that can happen is a bunt single. So you're right, a walk and a bunt are the same. It's a great point. But you're still giving yourself the opportunity to rip a double up the alley, which is more impactful than a bunt hit or a walk. Does that make sense?
But they're giving you first base. It's like a big man back in the day. Hey, we're going to let you take this three-pointer. So all right, I'm going to make you eat those.
With
you know.
Every other person on the Mets, I'd say take the base, right? But Soto's on-base percentage is so high anyway that I've got a better chance of doing something impactful by letting him hit. Maybe he does walk. But he also may hit the ball over the fence. I don't think it makes mathematical sense to bunt with Juan Soto.
Would you rather him bunt or swing at a ball so far away he strikes out and it ruins a big chance to win a game?
That's a dopey question because you're asking me about a result.
No, but
if look, I already knew the result, okay, Evan, sure, that's an easy answer.
Look, you could do OPS.
Tommy asks good questions. You're asking
dumb
questions.
You're not going to bunt in the spot where he swung and missed there, too.
I've got, Tommy,
I know, but look,
you asked a good question because I think that's the great follow-up. He walks all the time. Do you have a problem with that? No, I think it's different because you're giving yourself a chance to drive in runs.
You're also bringing up the pitcher's pitch count, too, in a walk. You might be an 8-pitch walk if you lay a bunt down on the first pitch.
I already convinced Tommy. He's with me. You don't want to see Juan Soto bunt. You know that.
For other reasons, I don't want to see him bunting.
For other reasons?
Well, come on. We don't need to give ammo to the other side of the fence here.
Oh, that the Yankee fan would make fun of Soto bunting?
I mean, the guy made a great catch last night in the outfield, and all I see on social media is the ball he's slightly misplayed.
Well, there were there were three balls last night. There was the great running catch.
Yep.
There was the ball that short-hopped him and still made a great backup play. Got no issue with that play. That should be thrown out. The play I have an issue with is right before the great catch, there was a little pop-up in foul territory, and he came up very short.
He's not going to bust it over there and pull a hamstring.
No, it's fine. I'm not complaining. Just making a point.
Week one.
Okay. You ready for post number two?
Yes. That was a long post number one.
I apologize. I got off on a tangent. April 16th, 2019. The height Marlon Mann's delusional self-importance might be him covering... The height of Marlon Mann's delusional self-importance might be him covering his mouth when he talks like there are lip readers out there who actually give a crap about what he's saying. Who posted that? You know Marlins Man?
No.
Marlins Man is the guy who wears the Marlin jersey right behind the plate at every big baseball game.
Okay.
So he's been around for years. He's a fixture. So the tweet says, the height of Marlon Man's delusional self-importance might be him covering his mouth when he talks.
This is 2019.
Yes. Yeah. Like there are lip readers out there who give a crap about what he's saying. Mm. Was that posted by Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, Brandon Tierney, or Greg Giannotti?
Donnie Baseball was a skip then?
2019?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I'm going to say BT.
You're wrong.
Not BT. I don't think BT cares about Marlins, man. That's not something he would tweet about, is it?
I don't know. I mean, if he's watching Marlins because he loves Mattingly.
No. That's the problem with Marlins, man. He's never watching the Marlins.
Yeah, it's not even a Marlins game.
He's wearing the Marlins stuff at all the big games. He's a self-important pig.
Oh, see, I didn't understand this about Marlins, man. So this is Sean, then.
You're wrong.
It's not. I know somebody else who's as big a hater of Marlins Man than me.
Who's that?
Greg Giannotti.
You losers!
It is Greg Giannotti. So you share Gio's disdain for Marlins Man?
I cannot stand this guy. Loathe this guy. Nobody cares that you're sitting back there. Just wear normal clothes.
So
and
what
go
games
about
does he go to? Any games?
All the big Sunday night games, all the big playoff games, always in the Marlins. And my point is... What at this point we know who you are. Just wear normal clothes.
He's
who
like cares? He's like Waldo.
Who cares that we could see you behind the plate? Just go enjoy the baseball games with your money.
The next tweet I was gonna read, I've actually decided not to read because the more I'm reading it over and over again, the more I think it could be offensive. So I'm gonna move on from that. The one with the spitting? Tommy, the one with the spitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't do that, right?
Yeah, you definitely should.
Fuck to it.
Okay.
We definitely don't.
There was a tweet about spitting. I'm not even going to say the person.
The alternative is better.
Yeah, so I've just...
I meant not reading... What did you think I was talking about?
I don't know.
I meant reading it.
So I've decided that this person, one of our coworkers, is not going to be potentially shamed with this tweet. I'll show you during a commercial break.
Do we have a bonus tweet then here on Person of Toast?
I got another one.
Okay, I don't know who it is. So.
No, I got the next one. The next one.
Oh, got it. I see. I got that one.
I'll find you a bonus one. You want me to find you a bonus one?
Yeah, let's do a bonus one after.
I'm going to give you a bonus one.
All right.
Here's the regular one from August 30th, 2019. Mowing your lawn for the first time as a homeowner is a lot like the first time you have sex. You can't wait to call all your friends to tell them you did it. was that Evan Roberts, Al Dukes, Greg Giannotti, or Sean Morash?
That was you, Evan.
You're wrong.
It could have been me. I mean, it's not that far off.
Al Dukes?
You're wrong.
Sean?
Yes.
That was Sean.
Sean Morash, back in 2019. Do you remember tweeting that?
Absolutely. What a thrill it was. It was great. The irony of you reading this tweet is I spoke to my landscaper this morning to make sure he's coming around starting next Wednesday.
So you do not mow your lawn any longer?
No.
Why?
No, I stopped when I got moved to afternoon drive.
Oh, the hours of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, believe it or not, I love mowing my lawn. That's why it was a great guess that it would be me. I got fired this past year by my wife. She was done with me. She said, you're not doing a good enough job with the lawn.
Wow.
And so I am not cutting the lawn this year, which I'm still devastated about, but I understand.
You know what I liked about it when you buy a house? I'm not handy. Like, I can't fix a lot of stuff, but I could do lawn care.
I hear you.
And it just...
So one thing you can do.
Yeah, so it made me feel good when I bought a house to go, I got this. And, like, I would go in, and, of course, I'd get no bouquets from my wife at all that I did a good job.
Here is your bonus tweet on Posted and Toasted. September 6, 2019, Major League Baseball has announced that blown saves will now be called Edwin Diaz.
Oh, God, that's
hater. Major League Baseball has announced that blown saves will now be called Edwin Diaz. Now, Tommy doesn't know the answer because this is a bonus tweet, but I'll give you the choices. Mm-hmm. Is it Evan Roberts, Sal Licata, Tommy Lugauer, or Greg Giannotti?
I think that's Sal Licata.
You're wrong.
So is it you?
You're wrong.
Gio?
You're wrong.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
Tommy! Positive Tommy!
Why are you hating on your own dude, man?
Wait, before he answers, you should have got it after the first one. Tommy didn't know the answer, but you were wrong really quickly.
No, I knew that. I remember tweeting that, so I already knew that that was me.
Yeah.
You remember tweeting that?
Why are you hating like that?
Well, that was negative Tommy. That was before positive Tommy was born, and Edwin Diaz was horrible when he first came in.
No, he was.
Like,
he
beyond was. Horrible.
So you remember, as soon as I said it, you're like, damn it.
I remember the tweet. Yes.
Do you remember what game? What did he blow?
There were a lot of them.
Probably against.
I know there were a lot, but was it specific?
Was it the one against the Phillies where Mike famously went nuts? That would be funny if that was
I'm
going to
give
day.
You the answer. What was the date I just said?
September 6th.
Oh, September. You know what that was? I know without even looking. Kurt Suzuki. It's got to be the Kurt Suzuki game. Remember the Kurt Suzuki game?
Yeah.
That was a game in which the Mets were still in. Let me confirm I'm right.
Was that
I go
shortly after the Todd Frazier game? Series?
By the way, wait, what date did I just say?
September 6, 2019.
September 6, 2019, they won. That's interesting. Oh, okay, he blew the save that night. It was a Friday night against the Phillies. He gave up two runs in the ninth inning. But then the Mets won the game anyway in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Oh, so you're hating on the dude?
They won.
They won the game?
He gave up a two-run home run to JT Realmuto.
I can't stress how bad Edwin Diaz was, though.
And then the Mets won the game on a bases-loaded walk by Pete Alonso. How about that? So, yeah, it was not the Kurt Suzuki.
Plus, we all hated that trade at the time. Now it's a good trade, but at the time, people hated that trade.
It was mixed. I don't know if everybody hated
really?
It. Yeah.
Kelnick and we got Cano, and who else did we give up? I forgot. A pitcher that I don't think amounted to much.
There were a lot of people in that trade. Yeah. Like Jake Bruce was in that trade.
Right.
We got a crappy reliever back. It was it was a mixed bag of a trade, but wow, they won the game, and he was crapping on Edwin Diaz.
This was before positive Tommy.
Mm. No, I guess you. There's a lot of negative tweets in there from old negative Tommy. Oh. That's a good one. All right, let's go to Harrison in Jersey City. How are you, Harrison?
What up, Harrison?
Hey, guys. Sorry, let me get you off speaker real quick.
All right. Thank you.
I basically wanted to just call to agree with Tiki.
Thank you,
Harrison. We should totally. I like it because it's both parts petty and also cat.
Right. I think we lost his phone. Went crazy.
Right. He crapped out on it.
He's referring to not booing Juan Soto upon his return, but
standing up, turning around, and standing in silence.
Yes.
When Juan Soto returns to Yankee Stadium in the Subway Series.
It is gaining momentum because Sean shared with me last night that there were a bunch of people on social media also trying to make that a thing. And then someone corrected them and said, Tiki's been working on this for over a week now.
Yankee Twitter is starting to unify a month out. I really think this is going to catch legs by there.
I don't think...
I forgot the date.
You'll hear it every day. Right here.
But that's the key. Like, and the reason why I give you a puncher's chance in this whole thing is that a lot of us come up with ideas a day before. And it's great, but it's a day before. There's nothing you can do with it. If you plant those seeds for a month and a half, you run the chance that more people hear it, mm-hmm. more people talk about it, and more people say, yeah, that's a great idea, we're going to do it.
And they'll agree with me.
Now,
because
I
the opposite of love is not hate. It is apathy.
Indifference. No, you're right.
And what helps? Again, it's one series. It's only a month in the season. If the Yankees have a really good April here, who cares that he left?
Right?
You know what I mean? We're not going to be angry about it.
I think the better you are, the easier it is to have that kind of apathy.
Right.
It's a good point. Let's go to Anthony on Long Island. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything?
All's good, Ant. What's up?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing much. I just want to talk about the Giants draft. You know, I think that the best case scenario for the Giants would be that the Browns do draft Shador. And I'll tell you why. I think Abdul Carter is the generational guy in this draft. I think the kid Grant from the Wolverines is a really good player too.
Yep.
But I think they should just draft, if Shador does go to the Browns, they're in perfect situation. They could draft Abdul Carter. Then if they see that the kid from Alabama is a good enough QB, well, I'm going to put Daboll's roots with Alabama and everything else, that I just think you trade Kayvon, you don't give him this fifth-year option, you don't have to give him an extension. Abdul Carter starts from day one. And then you trade up and you go get Milroy, you go get the kid from Louisville. I think there's so many possibilities here that they don't have to reach. I'm being honest with you, man. I don't want Shador. I don't think Shador played against enough competition while he was in college.
Right.
I think it's different for Cam, because Cam did play at Miami. He did play against better competition. And let's be real, Cam Ward is perfect for Tennessee because he's the second coming of Steve McNair. You know, that's who he reminds me of.
Right. It's interesting. You know, look, Tennessee's going to take a quarterback because they haven't done anything outside of, I don't know, maybe talk up a little bit Will Levis. So they're taking a quarterback, and they're positioning it so to see what they can get with someone trying to trade in the top pick. So the question is really, what does Cleveland do? And Cleveland is interestingly in a similar. It's different because they have Myles Garrett, who's an all timer and a Hall of Famer already. But the Giants have talent at their edge. But the really good teams, and you saw San Francisco do this for a long time, and the Patriots would do this for a long time, is you draft the replacement before you need them.
Right.
And then you have the option when it comes down to, do we give Kayvon his fifth-year option, and do we sign him to a long-term deal, or do we just let him walk
right.
or trade him, and then we have his replacement right away. But I don't think you'll trade Kayvon before the season.
No.
Because it wouldn't make any sense to force a rookie to have to be in a high-pressure spot.
No, I think that's something you do once you've decided maybe a year from now, we don't want to pay him.
Yes.
We want to move on from him.
Yes, and that's not a discussion yet. You're not having that discussion yet.
It doesn't need to be. Let's go to Rich in East Haven, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Rich.
Hey, Evan. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just got a little scenario for you, Evan. You say you don't like Soto bunting.
Yeah.
But last year he batted .296. There's 25 weeks in a season. If he bunts once a week, his average goes up to almost .330 and gets a hit.
Okay.
Do you not like that, or do you think that's cheesy?
Do I think it's cheesy? No,
Evan wants the run scoring opportunity.
He's on pace and he's padding his average.
All right, here's what I think. Hmm. Oh, so you're saying that's what he's going to do? That's what his intention is?
In a sense, but
okay.
Yeah, you know, it's a free hit.
I don't know what Juan Soto is thinking. Mm. I'm going to give you my reasoning why I didn't like him bunting with the Yankees and why I won't like him bunting with the Mets. His on-base percentage in his career is .420. Okay, that means he gets on base 42% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of those are walks. A lot of those are home runs or doubles or extra base hits or singles that allow guys go first to third. Because his on base is so high, he even had a year back in 2020. I know that was an abbreviated year. His on base was .490. The year after it was .465. Like, he's had monster years of getting on base.
Wow.
I believe his on base percentage is so high that I wouldn't need the cheapy away to get on.
Right.
I'd rather him just have his Soto at bat, where there's a damn good chance he's going to get on base anyway, but there's also a chance he hits one over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not make sense?
No, of course it does. Like, your argument makes a lot of sense. I'm not even talking about him doing it regularly to boost his average. I'm just talking situationally. When you need a hit, he's a good bunter. And he'll get down the line, and he'll get a base hit, he'll get on base.
Okay, but here's my point to that. You need a base runner.
Yes.
Okay? If you're down by 3 runs in the ninth inning,
I'm not talking about being down 3 runs.
No, but that's when I'd be okay with a bunt. Because at that point, it's like, just get me on base.
Right.
But if I'm down by a run in the ninth inning, I want the chance of him hitting a double. Mm. I want the chance of him hitting a home run. His on base is so high, it leads me to think that the cheapy bunt isn't worth it for him.
Right.
For other players, it is.
Well, it depends on how much you grow to trust Pete Alonso behind him.
I trust Pete Alonso.
Well, of course you do, now.
What? What do you mean now? You think you changed because of a grand slam in game 4 of the season?
Okay.
Would you just meet me?
We'll see.
I mean, you just meet me yesterday?
Did we not have this conversation multiple times a year ago?
About Alonso?
Pete Alonso. In clutch situations.
And what did I say? I'm going to say the same thing I said last year. I'm going to say today. Pete Alonso last season did not have a clutch season.
There you go.
But in his career, he's been plenty clutch. I'm not worried about Pete Alonso's inability to rise to the moment. That's BS. And that's why when he hit that home run against Devin Williams, the day of, I was screaming on the radio to you, I know he's capable of it. It wasn't new. Mm-hmm. He's been clutch before. He had a bad year last year. I believe he'll have a good year this year. I didn't look at yesterday as a difference maker. It's the fourth game of the season. I'm glad he had a grand slam. You know what I like about Pete? Pete Alonso. I'm going to give you a weird stat. But I counted it last night in my scorebook. Until he hit the grand slam. So this was after, he hits the home run.
Yeah.
I go back in my scorecard. He's had 17 plate appearances this season. 8 of the 17 got to 3-2 counts. Pete Alonso has had great at-bats. Mm-hmm. Now, you eventually have to drive runs in. You eventually have to hit home runs. I totally understand that. Last night, he did that. But if you watch closely, especially on opening day, he's had a lot of really good at-bats. He's taking really close pitches. He's showing a patience that he didn't have last year.
Because he was pressing.
Maybe. Could have been a million different things.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned, Teague, is I don't care the why.
Right.
I just care if it's different. So, I feel good about Pete, but one home run in game 4 of the season didn't change that. You know that about me. The question is, did it change you? Because yesterday, you backed up your little text that you sent me over the weekend that said, the Mets need another bat. Well, they scored 10 runs against the Marlins. Do they still need another bat, Tiki? Got to answer the question.
Well, you said yesterday, it's 3 games.
I did say that.
Well, you know what today is? 4 games.
So, it hasn't changed or it has changed?
It has not. Either way.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.